Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 28th of December, recording at 6:34 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, it's a relief to be back in the office. I can take only so much socializing, even with lovely people, not to mention I can take only so much eating. And it would have been antisocial to go off somewhere and quietly read. But now, back to the markets. I hope you had a great Christmas. Back to the markets. Highlights, another stunning performance by Japan. That's important. I'll come back to that for a moment. In the currencies, we had the dollar quite weak here this morning, but it's regained all those losses and actually moved modestly into the plus column. That has had an influence on precious metals, although they still show some quite respectable gains in here today. And oil, this one's perhaps important. We've got quite a big bounce on crude. Okay, let's go back to the stock markets. Now, Wall Street, as some of you will have noted, had some scarifying key day reversals yesterday. Now, in discussing those with Owen, the point I emphasized was that was the first thing really that the U.S. indices had done wrong since the terrific rebound started from the October lows. And I don't want to ignore any keys, and I certainly don't ignore these. I consider them at least a warning shot across the bows that all is not terribly well. And you'll see those charts and Owen's comments of a very similar nature. But what I also, what we also discussed is the fact that usually with those keys, if they're a really dangerous signal, you get immediate follow through. Now, Wall Street was doing better today. We've got several hours to go here before the close, but those gains have been pared back, and the Nasdaq's actually down a little bit on the day. Dow and the S&P are still up marginally, but suffice it to say, I think a weak close on Wall Street today, in addition to the keys that we saw yesterday, never mind seasonal absence of people and light volume and so on, that technical action would raise more than a few eyebrows, and not least here at the Fuller Money Desk. Now, so it'll be very interesting to see where the market does close. But now I want to get back to Japan, because we're seeing something that we have that I have not seen, that no one has seen since the 1980s. And that is that Japan is now the most influential market in terms of overall psychology. Now, I've touched on this point. I've mentioned this before. And it's something that we had only begun to see since Japan took off in such dramatic fashion following the completion of its base formation on the Nikkei 225 index when it broke above the 12,000 level. And it's been a steady march here, interrupted by a couple of very shallow reactions, and the index is now over 4,000 points higher at 16, closing today at 16,194. Now, this is important because back in the 1980s, we looked for the lead. I looked for the lead in terms of what Japan was doing, particularly in the late 1980s. And this was money for old rope, as they say, if you spotted the changes in trends. Not only was Japan the most influential market in terms of which way the other indices were actually heading. In other words, strong Japan tended to drag other markets upwards, not least after the 87 crash, where Japan had a rather muted reaction relative to the collapse that we saw just about everywhere else. And Also, Japan was the leader in terms of sector performance, because what suddenly started to perform or not to perform in Japan in the normal sort of rotation of sectors that we see constantly throughout markets, that Japan would establish the fashion, and then that would be replayed a short time later. By short time, I mean anything from a few days to a few weeks later in various different markets around the world. So if you could spot the fashion change in Japan, you could make money by moving into that sector or out of that sector if it was weakening or shorting it in other markets around the globe before people finally cottoned on to what was actually taking place in Japan. Now, the 1990s, of course, Japan was certainly not an influence. It was just an example of what not to do or how not to run monetary policy, and people, a lot of hand-wringing about how Japan had completely lost it, and everybody was becoming a geriatric. Well, all too bearish, and a lot of that not really all that relevant. And today, Japan is top of the pops in terms of being in the investing public's consciousness. Whereas Wall Street has underperformed all year, that's not likely to change significantly in my view. And in the burst bubble 2000 environment, so Japan's in the post position once again, and that should serve us well, not only in the short term, but over the medium and longer term. And in terms of its leadership, that's something that is likely to grow rather than to wane. Now, none of that means that when we next see a genuine correction on Wall Street, that we won't see a lot of markets fall back. But again, Japan will probably be among the leaders in terms of signaling, okay, we've seen enough of a reaction and markets are going to start to move back up again. Now, let's move on here to the day's other developments. And that's really the main story in stock markets, except other than the US's key day reversals, we have seen very little in the form of pattern deterioration in here. And I'm say I'm willing to try to put that well, I'm willing to put that those keys on Wall Street in a less bearish perspective if we see some steadier action here over the next today and over the rest of the week. And otherwise, I'll pay more attention to it and classify it as more than just a warning shot across the bows. Now, in terms of the US dollar, I'm not sure why it weakened earlier on today, because I haven't seen what people have been saying on the television channels. One factor that could have easily been an influence would be the realization that tax break on the repatriation of capital by American companies. Well, that we can assume that well over 95% of that repatriation of capital has already taken place. And psychologically, knowing that that's no longer a bull prop for the US dollar may cause some people to take some dollar profits or actually step in short. But the interest rate factors, that's the more significant item, and that may well have come back and reasserted itself later on today. And again, I've said so often that interest rate differentials, short-term interest rate differentials, are the only hard fundamental in the currency markets. And as long as US rates were rising at a faster rate than rates elsewhere, that would certainly be a cushion for the US dollar in terms of downside reactions and could easily push it higher at a time when we don't have any powerful currency trends. We only have this sort of jerky, sometimes relatively sharp moves that last a week or two. So that's a tricky environment in which to deal, and I'm inclined not to deal in it because I don't have to. Remember, I and most of you can behave as if we're judges in an international beauty contest. And when I look at those currency patterns, I see a lot of choppy action and say, no, that doesn't really appeal. What does appeal is the precious metals sector, which is increasingly being and predictably being regarded as well. People are. I've been saying all along that these metals are gradually being remonetized in the eyes of investors. That's a very, very bullish theme. Despite that being such a bullish theme, I've been quite conservative in my tactics of late, because these positions do have to be managed, and I'm prepared for some more choppy action following the break of that 6 week or so uptrend that we saw from the beginning of November. And so I'm running relatively tight stops in here, and I have halved my silver position during this rally, as you'll see from comment of the day. But I remain a huge bull of the sector overall, and from an investment perspective, as well as a trading perspective, I think every time gold gets a reaction of say $30, $40 or more, and I don't think it'll be all that much more. I think anything in excess of a $50 reaction by gold over the next many, many months is likely to be very much an exception rather than the rule. So when we do see those medium-term corrections, though, of $30, $40 or more, that will be probably a very good buying opportunity overall. And I would expect that might well be the prevailing case for quite some time. And the only factor which would alter that, if we saw some really parabolic acceleration in the gold price on the upside, and I really don't expect that anytime soon, although I do maintain that we are in the second psychological perception stage of this bull market, and that is where we see we don't get 18-month trading ranges anymore, for instance. That's what we had seen up until September, when gold started to perform again on the upside. Now, today's action, when the dollar was weak, I mean, the precious metals, after a firm start, then became very strong. We had gold up over $10 at one point, but those gains have been pared back as the US dollar recovered. Now, I would not like to see gold retrace over half of today's gains in here today, or the other precious metals retrace over half of their gains today, because and we should really watch gold and silver most closely, because platinum and palladium, which had been leading during that 6 week rally from the beginning of November that I referred to, have actually been lagging here in the last few days during this 5 day rally. That's been quite powerful, led by silver, with gold close behind. Now, if we were to see silver and gold close today, we've had the official close in silver, and it closed at, I give you March silver, closed at 893.5, 893.5. Now the high, that's up 12 1/3 cents, which is quite good action. And the high of the day, though, was 901 and a half. So at one point it was a very strong move. Now, in the after-hours trading, if gold were to fall back further in here, then, and I'm not saying it will, but I'm saying if it did do that, leaving a large tail on the charts, that would, I think, suggest that this short-term move had run out of steam, and probably I would have some of my positions in both gold and silver stopped out tomorrow, because I have been running relatively tight stops in here, and I certainly moved them up again today, although wanting to give the markets enough breathing room. But certainly, if we were to see today's gains completely retraced, I would not be happy in hanging around in all of those positions. But as I say, that hasn't happened yet. Now, the biggest story on the day here right now, and it's not in the chart highlights that today's most interesting charts that Owen prepared, because it hadn't happened by the time he prepared that. And I can mention it to you now, though, and I emphasize this is the most important technical development that we've seen here today. Currently, crude oil is up $2, and therefore it's producing an upward dynamic today on the charts. Now, the only news item that I've actually seen is that an Iranian minister said that OPEC should cut production in the meeting. In the upcoming meeting. Let me just put that up because I can't remember when that next meeting is, but the headline may well say. And crude oil rises. Here's the Bloomberg headline. Crude oil rises as Iranian minister says OPEC should cut output next month. Now, we had talk of that before, and we didn't get that much of a rally. And it was kind of a one-day wonder, and it wasn't as strong a dynamic as we have seen in here today so far. And the rally today came after oil had drifted back down, influenced by that warm weather in the United States, but it had drifted back down towards the low that we had seen last month, and that I said I felt was pretty much the downside extent of this overall correction. And this move on the upside by oil today has occurred at a time when, if you look at the financial television programs, you know, you bring together any number of experts around these tables, and they don't agree on all that many things, but one that they do agree on is that the oil price is going to be lower. Now, no disrespect, but that's a contrary indicator, as the behaviorists among you will realize. And there's a lot of hoping in all that. And I try to avoid the hoping here. And what I see is a pretty good upward dynamic in here today, reaffirming the low that we saw last month, and that will remain the case until or unless we get this dynamic reversed. And those the low that we've seen not only this week but also last month taken out by oil prices. And even if that were to occur, I don't think we would see prices move all that much lower. This is a secular bull market. And I think that, therefore, people will be overly cautious in terms of downside risk, just as we've seen with gold and silver recently. And it will also mean that the main surprises are on the upside. Now, I looked at that natural gas price earlier today, and it was mouthwateringly tempting in terms of the speed and extent of the decline, and that which makes it a candidate, made it a candidate for a bit of a short covering rally. But again, that U.S. weather forecast is for quite warm weather throughout most of this week. Now, there are other factors, of course, at play, which could influence this market. But for better or for worse, and so far it's worse, I decided not to play the game, having seen natural gas get down to an actual low here for the February contract of $10.96, so just under the $11 level, and it's now trading at $11.75 because of this rally in the crude price. Which is continuing. So I think we are seeing short covering and a little bit of bargain hunting. But you know, I just felt that looking at that, and mentioned it to Owen, I said, to me it felt as if it would be a little bit too much of a roll of the dice, and I don't really go in for a great deal of that. But Overall, and you've known I've done it on numerous occasions in the past, I've had a policy of whenever the natural gas gets whacked to pick some up. I am relieved to touch on dogs of the portfolio department here to see the gasoline price pick up, and I know one or two of you, at least, probably a fair number more, have also had a position there. Mine's in the February gasoline, and that is currently up $6.80. That's quite a good move. I'm in here today, and an upward dynamic on the charts. So, but all that's done is pare back my loss, and because I felt that the oil sector correction could, well, it may well be over. We might just see these things drifting around for a fair amount of time. I resisted the temptation when mentioning last week that gasoline was losing downward momentum, but I did not. I chose not to pick up a little bit more, concentrating on the precious metals instead. And what else to mention in here? I think that's pretty much it, folks. So rather than ramble on any further, I'll say all the best to all of you, and I will be here, of course, recording tomorrow and also on Friday. Take care.